Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen you and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our pastors.
Over there on the light. So yeah, thank you. Sorry, I have a lot of props, okay? When you work with teenagers all your life, you have to, but I'm a visual learner, so anytime I would read instructions, I can never understand it. I was like, I don't get it. Until I would go on YouTube and research it, and they would kind of show you step by step, you know, on how to do things. So that's how God teaches me on how to break down his word, because his word is so advanced. And, you know, he makes the most simplest things, but it's so deep. God is so deep and so vast. Amen. Wasn't last Thursday amazing? Not this Thursday, but the Thursday before. Tiva, Akia, and then Pammy. All of them did such... Oh, yeah, you can give them a hand. Yes. They did such an amazing job. I was just so blessed by that. I was sitting in the back, and I was like, wow, like... God, you're doing something with the women of God here, you know? And it's amazing. But I have a lot to say. Well, I don't have a lot to say. God has a lot to say. And I want us to know before I go into this message that we're all smart. All right? That we are all smart. We have the mind of Christ. And there's a lot of scriptures, but I'm not going to be able to go into all of them, but I will give you the references and a lot of it. But this is all about Christology and eschatology. Like, Christology means God who he is, Jesus Christ as King. Breaking it down into all the theologians, like, it's like, I was like, God, why do I have these scriptures? I struggled in school, so I am not, like, the most wittiest person, but I did tell my husband, I'm smart. I'm very smart. I have the mind of Christ, so I'm just praying that this is going to come out the way God has called it to come out, but you have more of a realization, but a revelation of who he is. I know we talk about who he is, but man, no, it goes deep. It goes so deep in who God and what Jesus did and what he had to do as Savior and how he had to go to the pit to get the keys of sin and death. All those things are so deep, and everything has to be done in decent in an order, because that's who our God is. He's a God of order. There's no chaos in God. He's all who he is. He's purity. He's holy. He's worthy. He's all those amazing absolute words. All right. Amen. So I'm just going to be going into this, and I have to recap because Pastor Suits did such a great job too. Oh my gosh. Some of her stuff was what is it, apologetics? She was teaching apologetic stuff. And what is that? That is the word of God. How to defend the word of God. Why Jesus had to show up the way he showed up with 500 witnesses. How he had to come to the disciples and how he had to show himself. There was a reason why. Not because he was like, hi, everybody, I'm alive. No, the scriptures had to be fulfilled. When the prophets said certain things, he had to come and do exactly what the word of God said beforehand. And because of that, because that makes God who he says he is. He's a true God. He's not a man that he can lie. He's not a liar. So every word that is established, it has to have witnesses to say that Jesus is who he says he is. And just like us, God has to remind us of those witnesses in our own lives, right? Because we have a witness inside of us also, ladies, don't we? Because when we gave our life to God, now we become a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are a witness of who he is. He's a resurrected Father. He's right. He's Jesus Christ. Amen. So in these passages, Paul had to go back to the Corinthians. Remember, the Corinthians are little rascals. This is like the modern church of America right now. They knew, they were very smart and very talented too. They were very gifted. people, but they lived in a secular area of their life. So a lot of the all their stuff, the theology, the philosophies of their time. Have you guys ever heard of Athens? Those were all where the ingenious, intelligent people would go, and they would debate. They would debate on gods. They would debate on philosophies. They would debate on. So Paul goes to Athens and to debate them, to let them know that there was Jesus that died and rose again from the dead. But in those times, they did not accept that. They thought that was foolish, because why would anybody want to come back? Because why? Because you're trying to escape this prison, this flesh, this body. They looked at him and they scoffed at Paul. And they said, why would I want that? When I'm gone, I'm gone. And it's not like they didn't believe in God, because they did believe in the supernatural. If you research everything, they had different deities. They had Diana. They had the temple of all these other gods, Zeus, and all these things. So it wasn't like they weren't spiritual, but they were very intellectual. So a lot of their mindset, they could not go into why somebody would die an awful death, because someone that died an awful death like that, crucified, that was awful. Like, why would I want that? But Paul is debating them on all these different things, and they scoffed at him. And they laughed. And the reason why now Paul has to go to the Corinthians in chapter 15, because the philosophy of those philosophers in Athens was seeping into the church. They were preaching a doctrine now that Jesus did not rise. They were starting to believe those lies. And Paul had to reiterate, hey, no. Jesus died on the cross. And if he didn't die on the cross and he didn't raise again, then we are idiots. He didn't say that exactly, but my term. We are idiots. Like, we have no purpose on why we are serving God and the suffering, what we're going through in our life. There's no point. And so Paul was very upset, very passionate about these Corinthians. Why are you letting this seep in? Why are you letting the intellectuals of the time seep into the church? And don't we see that now? We are seeing, we have so many denominations, so many, like, even a lot of people don't even believe in the Holy Spirit. A doctrine of no Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit was gone with the disciples. But God's saying, no, the Holy Spirit is here and now. He's the one that reveals Jesus to us. Amen? So everything is decent and in order. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so he has to remind them of the resurrection power, why Jesus had to die, but also the witnesses. He resurrected. Remember, guys, remember? It's so crazy. Can you imagine this, though? Jesus rises from the dead, and you see him. And then you see your loved ones that died, like, that they died like 10 years ago, and they're all clothed and they're like alive. And you're like, what? That one got eaten by a lion, but he just looks like this, you know? But it's true. Like, what the heck? And to be honest with you, I wouldn't, okay, Jesus, and I love this about Jesus. When he resurrected his body, he still had the scars. Why would Jesus have that? To show a witness that he was who he says he was. He could have had a resurrected, holy body, glorious body, but no, he wanted to let the enemy know, hey, and us to know, look, I was bruised for your iniquities. Remember, we are healed because of those stripes that were placed on his back, amen? Everything had a reason why he does what he does. And remember in Isaiah chapter, I think 55, it says, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. There's no way we can understand like everything about the Lord, but that's okay. But if we're pushing through and say, God, what else are you trying to show me in this? Every Easter means something different to us, because we should have another revelation of what he did. Not from the past, but into the now. Amen? So I have to recap on that, because if I don't recap on that, then it's not going to make sense to you, okay? So I hope I did pretty good. I was pretty good, I must say. All right. All right. I was like, okay, Nicole, see, I'm smart. I'm smart. See, Mom, I'm smart, huh? She's like, I always told you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. She'd always tell me that. I'm like, Mom, stop saying that. I'm the only child at the table still because I can't understand. So, I mean, it's so good. God is so good. So I'm going to go back and read Pastor Sue's last four scriptures, and then I can get into my scriptures, okay? Because it doesn't make sense if I don't bring it all together, okay? So let's go into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 23, okay? And so remember before that, he was talking to the Corinthians about the resurrection, talking about the witnesses, talking about why Jesus had to do what he did, okay? Now we're going to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20, 23. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of the great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into this world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ have been given a new life. But there is another order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest, then all who belong to him will be raised when he comes back. So he is talking about the first time he came and they were raised from the dead. Remember, the first resurrection was with Jesus. It says the first harvest. He was the first harvest. That means he was the first one to do it. Then after that, there was going to be more resurrections of people, and that was the first time he came. He first came as the Savior, right, to redeem the world. But the second time he comes, he's coming as a warrior king. He came as a servant because he had to submit himself. He had to become low so he can save us. He had to strip all the deity of who he was in heaven. He was God in the flesh, but God, he was a God-man. He was human. And I want us to remember that because this is so important. If Jesus did not submit to the will of God, because guess what? Every creation, everything that God has placed on all of us, especially the angels, in the beginning, guys, the angels, guess what? He made them. What did they decide to do? They decided to rebel. Why? Because they have free will. He gave all creation free will to serve him or to rebel against him. And why did he do that? Because he's a God of love. A God of love does not have that. He says, when you make someone love you, that's not real love, right? You want, please love me, please love me. Okay, I pity you, so I guess I love you, but not the way you think. You don't want to ever be with somebody that pities you. Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. Please, please. You know, like that's that as a woman, who wants to be that woman? Okay, I was that woman one time in my life. I was like, what kind of woman did I become? Asking a man, begging him to be with me. What the heck? But the thing is that Jesus is God. And he had a choice also. If he was going to submit to the will of God. Think about that, because sometimes we think he's God, so he's perfect. No, he still had a choice. Remember, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What are they? Godhead. That's a unity. They're one. And if there was any kind of division, then Jesus would not be able to do what he did. If there was any division. And because of the rebellion in heaven, there was division. Cosmic chaos in the heavenlies because of that. But us as humans, we didn't have that yet. God created us, but what did he do? He gave us a free will also, right? Okay, so because of that, now we come through two people. Adam, that brought in sin, and that as human beings, we all have a sin nature. Now, because Jesus is our Lord, personal Savior, if he is your Lord, personal Savior, now you have been resurrected from the dead. What do I mean by that? The dead of sin. Because remember in the garden, remember the serpent told Eve, if you eat of this, you won't surely die. But when God said, yes, if you eat of this, you will die. But they didn't know. They thought like, oh, die, I'm dead. No, it was a spiritual death. That was a spiritual separation. And only Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, could raise up the dead. Our spirit man is so much more bigger. It means so, it's eternity. It's eternity. And that's hard for us to get when we're living in this natural world. Amen? All right? So now Jesus came, and now we have the resurrection of our spirit. Amen? So now let's go into, let's read my scriptures. And it's go into 15 verses 24, 28. You guys got your thinking caps on? Yeah? All right. Remember, you're smart. I have the mind of Christ. Can you say that? I'm smart. I have the mind of Christ. Hey, I didn't hear the people in the back say it. I'm smart. I have the mind of Christ. Okay. Well, in faith, you're going to be saying it a little bit louder and true. All right? Okay. Chapter 15, verses 24 through 28, it says, after the end, remember I just read, it says, then all who belongs to Christ will be raised, and then he comes back. That's the first coming. And then it says, after that, the end will come. Then he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power, for Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy will be destroyed as death. The scripture says God has to put all things under Jesus, under his feet, under his authority. Of course, when it says all things under his authority, that does not include God himself, who gave Christ his authority. So that's confusing. If you can read that, it's a little confusing. God is God, but he delegated his authority to Christ to be, say, son, I can do this. I can do that. I'm God the Father. I'm all sovereign. I can do anything. But I'm going to use you because you submitted. I'm going to make sure that every enemy, before I become in that rightful place, God's always in his rightful place. But because of the rebellion, because of angels coming against his kingdom, there was such a brokenness now in the heavenlies. Okay? What does that mean? There's opposition against God constantly. Until every enemy is under Jesus' feet. What? I don't understand, because isn't it when Jesus died, he destroyed sin and death. He destroyed the power of sin and death. We're not in that great throne judgment yet, all right? So stay there. Stay there. I want you guys to get this, okay? It says, Then when all things are under his authority, the Son will put himself under God's authority. So God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everything, everywhere. And that means all in all. That means all in all, okay? We say that now, don't we? God is all in all. There's nothing lacking in God, nothing, right? Through Jesus' resurrection, he defeated the power of sin and death that was over humanity. When we are born, our spirit was once dead because of sin, and now we're alive in Christ, right? Jesus, that our spiritual resurrection is our spirit. There is three kinds of deaths. I want you guys to know this. The first death is a spiritual death. Those who haven't received Jesus Christ as their Lord, personal Savior, they're still dead in their sins. That's the first death. The second death is a physical death. We all will face death unless Jesus tarries and we get caught up in the rapture. Now, the rapture isn't in the Bible, okay? The word rapture, but it means a coming away. That's what it means, a coming away. When Paul is talking about the church who's going to be raptured up, it means a coming away, all right? And then the third death is the one we really need to be worried about. The eternal death is where we need to be concerned about. That's when a person is eternally separated from God for eternity and into utter darkness, and there's no way of coming back. So there's three deaths: the spiritual, the physical, and eternal death. And the eternal death and the physical death, all those will be wrapped up in the people that come against God and they don't want nothing to do with Jesus, right? But as a Christian, we will face death if we're not taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? We all are going to be facing that. It's not just because, when I get older, I'm going to be facing it sooner. No, we're not promised tomorrow. We could all leave here today, and God forbid, we can be gone, right? And so we have to realize when Jesus says the last thing that he's going to destroy is death. And that is something amazing, guys, because death is what brought in sickness. Death is what brought in sin. And now that we live in Christ Jesus, we don't have to live in that effect of that any longer, right? But why do we feel so sad when someone dies? Why do we feel like we mourn? Just like, I know when people say this, and don't ever say this to people, because this is not like the time to. Sometimes we need to have a manual on how to grieve, how to help people grieve, because we say the wrong things. Amen? Oh, at least he's in a better place. Or at least they're not suffering any longer. Yes, all those things are true. And we will see them one day, right? But in this moment of our life, at this time, you feel that separation. You feel the power of death, right? You feel it, right? But it's not the absolute when someone has given their life to Jesus. Even though it might seem bleak, even though it might seem like, and they died of cancer or they died of something that you were believing for, and that God, you said if we believe these things could happen. Amen. But we got to remember that God is sovereign also. And I remember getting mad at God because I felt like when God didn't heal my dad of being an addict, I was so angry because I was like, God, really? I prayed since I was a little girl that he would get a sound mind, that he would overcome drug addiction. And it was the drugs that took him out. Okay, this is what I'm saying in the flesh, right? And you said, if we believe, you said this. And I just felt like in that moment that God wasn't true to what he said. And that was in my soul, because deep down inside, I knew God was good. I knew he was faithful. But you know what's so good about God? He lets you be mad. He lets you kind of throw a little tantrum. And that's okay, because he's a big God. And I remember the Lord telling me, finally, he's like, I did hear your prayers. I heard your prayers, and your dad was ready. And it was the mercy of God that I took him. You got to experience my mercy on your dad's life. And I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Because the spirit of death and grief can take you out as a believer, because it puts disappointment. It puts the I don't understand why. Why do I feel so broken? Because when my dad died, I felt like I was abandoned all over again. As a child, not having my dad as a normal father. And I felt like I was an orphan left here. Orphan. I was like, why do I feel all these things? Because it was the sin of the fallen world. But I remember God's like, the enemy thinks he won against your dad. He thinks he won this battle, but I've won the war. I have won the war. And we're not going to give any place to the enemy, because no matter when someone dies, no, you don't give that place to the enemy. Especially when they give in their heart to Jesus and they are with Jesus. No, you're going to feel that pain. It's not going to be exempt from us as believers. But we do have something to look forward to. We have the hope that this is not the end. This is only the beginning. And I have to remind ourselves of that, because when we're going through a process of death, we have to focus. But it's good for us to actually go to the house of mourning, because it causes us to reflect. It causes us to look at ourselves and our lives, and we say, what are we doing with our lives? How much more can I be doing for Jesus? And I want to speak to my golden age women. You ain't finished yet. You ain't finished yet. And I know when we get older, you think like, oh, let the next generation, they don't look at us any longer. You know, we had our time. No, your time is still here and now. Because if you haven't met Jesus face to face, don't you think us young ones need to hear the wisdom that comes out of your mouths? And if you have somebody that's ever made you feel that, shame on them. Because God wants to give you honor. It says it's an honor to have gray hair. Now, I don't know if I'll ever receive that. I probably will always dye my hair. But if that's all my hair falls out, then I can't. But in Jesus' name. But what I'm trying to say, it's a blessing. How the enemy and culture makes us feel like when we get older, we become ancient. Not in God's eyes. We become younger. We become like Benjamin Button. The older we get, we become more younger. I don't know. I mean, it's true. Because why do I say that? Because you can't enter the kingdom of God if you're not like a little child. And the more you become a little child for God, and I really do believe this, when you become older, you become more of a child because you know God has been faithful. Amen? You become more trusting. Because you know your God has been faithful. Amen? All right. All right. God is so good. That was free. That wasn't in my notes. So God is explaining all this right here. It says right here, eternal death. It says, what is God speaking to us through these verses? These are so hard. No, they're not. We're smart. Remember? What Paul is trying to do is explain a central truth of the resurrection, the big world view, which carries with it, because Jesus' resurrection, we now know that the new era of God brings an awaited plan, and it has opened up through God, through Jesus. The Jewish people of Paul's days talked about the present age and the age to come. They thought everything would be put right and the dead would be raised, and Paul has to tell them that actually the present age and the age to come overlap. The age to come has been launched through Jesus Christ, and now the present age, the age to come, are rather awkwardly overlapping each other. That's where we live now. That's what we live now. And this is what the theologians call this thing, this whole concept, the now and not yet. The now and not yet. It is very important for us to balance these two things right. Some people want too much of the now and forget that it still matters. So they want the now, and they're saying, okay, have you ever heard of this? I don't know. I was like this. I got saved. I can't wait to be with Jesus. I can't wait. And you're just so waiting for the coming of Jesus. Oh, that's Iran. It's being prophesied, and you're stuck there. Instead of being like, okay, God is coming. Let's get moving. Let's go tell people about Jesus. Let's go to a coffee shop, even though I can't afford it. We'll go put a Bible out. I will take my tea bag, and I will be reading my Bible. Then maybe some young person or somebody will come up to me, and then the Holy Spirit will speak to me, and I can speak to them. Do we ever think about that? I know I haven't. And then the Lord's like, why don't you do that? I'm like, well, I don't want to spend money. I have my own teas. God said, just go over there, put your Bible out, and read your Bible. And people are interested. They're very into the spirit realm right now. Spirituality is a big thing right now, all right? And so the thing is, they're so busy, like, oh, I can't wait for Jesus to come back. Come back, Lord, now. I don't want to die. God. Come back now. And then there's some people, and they don't want to tarry, and they don't want to push through, and they don't want to go through the endurance. And ladies, I know the struggle. Okay, you know when we go through struggles and we go through suffering, we're not exempt from that. Amen? We're not. God did not call us to be exempt. But when we go through the struggles and we go through the fire, and it says in 1 James, it says in chapter 1, it says, count it all joy when you go through tests and various trials in your life. Why? Because it preserves you. It brings you preservation. It brings you endurance. And if we do not get ready, if you're running for a marathon, you're not going to, okay, if you do a 10 miles marathon and you did not prepare for the 5K, you will die. Okay, you won't die physically, but but in that time, you are preparing. Right? The suffering, the whips, the things that have gone through in your life, all the heartache, all those things, God says, you know what? I'm making all things new. All things new. You're going to have that overcoming. You're going to have that breakthrough, but we got to go through the fire. And I know sometimes when we go through the fire, why, God? And that's okay. I don't want you to get shame on you because you ask these questions. Because God's not mad. How many times in Job is like lamenting and asking God these questions, but God doesn't want you to stay there. That's the problem. We stay in the valley of the shadow of death too long. Grief is a spirit. Death is a spirit. Yes, death and grief we have to walk through, but we do not need to live in it. Amen? So, we have to, this whole era is overlapping. So you girls, it overlaps. It's the now and not yet. It's overlapping, okay? And I want you guys to get that picture because it's hard to get it because you're like, what? What are we believing for? What do we need to stand for, right? The present world that we imply that Jesus will only really be reigning. So a lot of people think, Jesus is not reigning right now. They don't. They believe, okay, this is what they believe. And I had this mindset too. Okay, Jesus won't truly be in his rightful authority until the second coming. And then when the millennial happens, eschatology, read your revelation, eschatology, he comes as a warrior king, remember, and on that white horse, has the fire of the sword of the spirit coming out of his mouth, and he's telling every demonic, every principality, you're done. And then God will reign freely. No, God is reigning here and now. The kingdom of God is present on the earth. Well, how do we know that? Because of you. How do you know? Because you're a witness. God says the kingdom of God isn't here. It's right now. We can still believe for those things. We still have the power and authority. How? How do we have that? Because of the blood of Jesus. Right here. Melissa, can you come up here? All right. Sorry, Melissa. Look how cute you are. All right. Whatever. No, I'm just kidding. All right. The blood of Jesus is a here and now, right? Now, we're like, okay, what does that mean here and now? Because we have a frequency now. Frequency, do you see your frequencies? No. You know they're there because if you can't, how do you know they're there? Because when you call somebody on your phone, it rings to them. That's a frequency. We have the frequency of Jesus, the blood of Jesus now in the kingdom of God because of the blood of Jesus. This is our frequency. This is what we have now. And you're like, what does that have to do with here and now? Because I don't want you to forget the power of the blood of Jesus. I don't want you to forget that you still have access to the kingdom of God and Jesus is still reigning. He's reigning here and now. Now, the fulfillment of the scriptures, everything is decently in order. The prophecies of Daniel, Ezekiel, Revelation, some of them have not been, hasn't entered yet. If that makes sense? Jesus died, he rose again, put the blood of Jesus on the right hand of the on the mercy seat. He did all those things that we have access to our Father, but there's still prophecies that have to be fulfilled. He can't, fast forward it and like, oh, it's done. Because God has said his word will be established for eternity. So every word that the prophets have spoken, it has to be fulfilled. Because if it's not fulfilled, then God's a liar. God's a liar. But we know that God isn't. So we are now in the now and not yet. So what I'm trying to say is a closed door is not always a bad door. The door is not locked. The door is there. It's just been waiting to be opened through his second coming. All right? Now, it says, now what does this have to do with us believers? Now I'm telling you, this is like, what does it have to do with me? Like, what does this have to do with me? What Paul is reminding us not to forget who Jesus is. Number one, the reign of Christ is ruling now. And it says, I'm going to reiterate the verse again, after that the end will come, and then he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler, every authority, every power, for Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy will be destroyed is death. Paul then looks forward to the second coming. He will return with the resurrection saints, and that which time will be destroyed. At which time he will destroy all dominions, authority, power, and he must reign until he put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy will be destroyed is death. Christ isn't waiting to become king. He is king. Putting his enemies underfoot. Now, he's underfoot. He's at the right hand. Am I on the right side to you guys? Is this the left side? This is the left? This is my right. Right? Okay. All right. All right. What is Jesus? He's at the right hand of the Father. Right hand of the Father. He still has dominion. Right? God the Father. God the Son, and I forgot, I mean, I didn't forget about the Holy Spirit, but I need another chair, but he's right there, okay? And it says he has to put every enemy under his foot. He's not worried about it. He's already destroyed. You know what's so exciting? He destroyed the power of sin and death. I mean, ladies, I want you guys to understand that. That means nothing can rule over you unless you give it access. Because as a believer in Christ, we don't have to keep those doors open. If he is king of everything, then we need to start living it. What are we waiting for? Waiting for, oh, when I feel like forgiving, I will forgive. When we think about sin, we're like, oh, if I'm not having sex and I'm not smoking and I'm not doing all these things, I'm good with God. No, you're not. What about your heart? We're waiting for God to come back, but you're not treating him as king. Because God says to get every filthy thing out of your life that's going to cause the enemy to have a foothold in your life. Amen. I know this is not a hard, this is a hard verse because we have no excuse. We have no excuse to allow the enemy to continue to be a big bully in our life. Because if we say Jesus is Lord and he is king over my heart, then why aren't we forgiving? Why aren't we taking care of our bodies like the way God called us to take care of our bodies? Why are we living with addiction? And I'm talking about addiction, not just just addiction of, I'm going to talk about food. Food addiction. And it's hard, guys, being disciplined. But God says, put your discipline on. Put the discipline of Christ on you. Because remember, girl, we could go one extreme to the other. I'm not saying you're so constantly focused on that. And I know in my life I was because my husband had an autoimmune. So everything I was eating, it had a purpose on why I was eating it. So I was going one extreme to the other. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. You're like, what kind of seed oils are in there? What? I was already becoming crazy. And I'm not saying to be like that, but God, this is the temple that you've given me. I want to live here at 90 years old, walking with my head up high, shoulders back, and saying, God, I'm still speaking your word. I'm still doing what you're calling me to do. Because God doesn't want us to live in that realm in the natural. And if it's hard, girls, it's okay. Ask God for his grace. Because God's grace is God's sovereign ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. I can't say no to that cake, but Jesus, you can. You know, I mean, seriously, right? I don't want to go to the gym, but Jesus, you can. You know, I don't want to walk, but Jesus, you can. You got to talk to yourself. I talk to myself all the time. Nicole, you're going to be okay. Everything's good. I tap myself because I just feel like I'm something's mean to me. I don't sometimes have Jesus as my king on certain days. I try. There's times where I'm in my flesh and I'm just into whatever I'm into. And I'm just like, then I get discouraged and I get broken down and I get sad. And I forget the reason why I'm here on this earth is to bring God's glory. Amen? So we got to refocus, right? So God wants us to be ready. If you have air in your lungs, you ain't finished yet. Like I said, all my golden girls, wise girls, I just feel like sometimes you just come with your head down and you feel like no one notices you any longer. You had your time. And now it's for the younger generation. And the next generation, the millennials, and then the Gen Zs, and then the Alpha, and the Omega. No, I don't know what the other one. The beginning, first and last. But we ain't done. We ain't done yet. We're not done. You're not done. And I love what my mom said. She said at the table, someone said it. I can't take the quote. It sounds so good, too. I wish I could claim it, but I can't. It's, you're not in retirement. You're in refinement. Right? Amen? You're not in retirement. God is refining you through these holy fires. You're not done yet. I see these women, and it makes me sad because I'm an instructor at a gym. And it's sad because they come in and they're so broken. And I can tell they're so discouraged because I gained all this weight through menopause. Or I gained, my knees hurt, my shoulders hurt, my back hurts, everything hurts, inflammation everywhere. And I look at them and I say, you know what? You aren't done yet. Look at you. Look at you. You weren't able to come down and do that push-up, but look what you did. You tried and you did it. They might not have been able to do like a whole push-up, but they started right here. Right there. And I said, if you can't do that, you do this. If you can't do that, you go to the wall. Right? You can't do that, you do this. There's something for everybody to do. You're not finished yet. You're not finished yet. And I just felt like the Lord just kept telling me, tell my girls of that generation, they're not done yet. Maybe the world has written you off, but he hasn't. You have more prayers that you need to pray for those ones, your grandchildren, your neighbor. All these people, your prayers are powerful. Amen? So I just felt like God said, I need them to know that. I need them to know that. I need them to know that. Don't let the enemy steal or distract you from what God has given mission, with a God-given mission on this earth. Let's finish well. The title of this message, I forgot to tell you, is The Mission Completed. You're like, what? We all have a mission. Jesus has that mission. He's not done yet. He's still on assignment until every enemy's under his footstool. Amen? And it says, all those powers, and whose power is greater than the power of sin? So second one that we're talking about is number two, the defeat. He defeated. The defeat of every enemy will fall. What enemies will be defeated? The enemy of God that will be destroyed included Satan, who by his deceit let lies ruin Adam and Eve and all humanity after them. All human beings have inherited sin and the sin nature. And Romans 5:12 says, and we must live, and it says, and all must live in bondage to sin unless delivered by Christ. Satan destroyed the innocent of Adam and Eve, and when he tempted them to rebel against God, but Jesus has redeemed the elect. We will have the final victory over Satan and the demons. And Revelations 20, verses 1 through 10 talks about that. The other enemy that Jesus destroyed is sin. Remember, he destroyed Satan at that cross, and now he destroyed the power of sin. Those whose power is greater than the power of sin. One day, sin will be completely destroyed. All believers will no longer live in the presence of sin. That is huge. Why does that mean something to us now? Because what we see now won't be forever. Let me explain it to you. When we are in the glorious body of our Heavenly Father up in heaven, he's bringing a new kingdom down. Heaven is not going to be in heaven. He's bringing the heavens to the great Jerusalem. He's bringing a new world, a new order. What does that mean to us? We will never have to be in the presence of sin any longer. That means that temptation, that means people dying around us of sickness, people, we don't know what's going on, the depression, we will no longer have that. And why am I saying this now? Because it's something to look forward to. Why? Because if we don't have hope, we don't have hope for tomorrow. Hope is the evidence of things not seen. Remember, faith is the evidence of not seen. Everything that's hopeful, we have to have the hope. If we don't have the hope, what are we doing? We don't have the strength for tomorrow. We don't have the strength to get through what we're getting through. We don't have the strength to go through what we're going through if we don't have hope. Okay, I might be sick, but God, you said by your stripes, I am healed. And Lord God, I don't know what's going on, but God, you're going to get this glorious body. God, I thank you for your word. Like, you start believing, because it's not always going to be this way. It's not always going to be where your body is broken. It's not always going to be where your kids are going crazy. God is going to complete everything. Nothing unleft open, nothing unless said. God is completing it. And he's already completed it now. We're just waiting for it to come to fruition. Right? Remember? It's in the now, and we're not in the not yet. We're not in the yet yet. The yet. Right? Okay. So he defeated the power of sin. And then the other one is he defeats death. By God of life proves that doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. Death can only be destroyed by the resurrection of both the wicked and the righteous, who will die no more. If there is no resurrection, then death will still rule and people will be subject to it. The fact that death will be destroyed assures us of the resurrection. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and then the mortal with the immortality, then the saying is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15:54 and Isaiah 25 verse 8. I want to read this to you because I want you to know when death is swallowed up. You know what it says in the scripture? It says, death, where's your sting? Death, you know, all those things. This is the verse, that's what it's saying right here. And it says 1 Corinthians chapter 54 verse 55. It says, then when our dying bodies have been transformed into the bodies been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? And then in Isaiah, remember, he's fulfilling what the Old Testament is saying. Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 8, it says, God's declaration and promise to his children. Let's read this verse. It says, in Jerusalem, the Lord of heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine, choice of meat. There he will remove the cloud of gloom and the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever the insults and the mockery against his land and his people. The Lord has spoken. So that should make you excited that we're going to eat in heaven. I'm excited about that. We're not going to gain weight in heaven. We're going to have the angel bread. Because sometimes I was like sad. Because I'm like, will we go to heaven? I know this sounds so stupid. I'm just a little girl sometimes in mind. Oh, I want to eat still in heaven. But I know we're not going to need it because God will be our substance and everything, you know. But then reading this, I was so excited. I was like, oh, man, we're going to have some good meat. We're going to have some good meat. And I ran and he said, wine? The wine that's not going to make us drunk and be sinful? You know, I mean, it's going to be so good. It's going to be a party. All right? All right. It says, powers and authorities and final death itself is being dismantled. Death is personal to all of us. There will be no longer of grief, loss, and fear. No longer of that. Can you imagine that? Because death is a spirit. They will no longer be. And no, we can't allow to speak it any longer of grief, loss, and fear. Now, how does this apply to us? No enemy gets the last word in our life. No enemy. I don't care if you're sick. The enemy does not have the last word in your life. And you're on that dying bed with your last breath in your lungs. The enemy did not win. Jesus won because we're not subject to death any longer. Our physical body, we will die. But our spirit man, it's a new chapter. It's a new beginning. It's a fresh start, right? No longer, ladies, will you have an ache in your back. Barbara, that was for you. Even now. God's going to heal you. God's healing you. The manifestation of his goodness is upon you in Jesus' name. Number three, we're almost there. Ah! The goal. God will be all in all. Verse 27 through 28. And the scripture said, God will put all things under his authority. Of course, when he says that, all things are under his authority. That does not include God himself who gave Christ his authority. Then all things are under his authority. Then the Son will put himself under God's authority. So God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everything. And that means all in all. Amen. It says, after Jesus comes again, he will bind Satan. He sets up his earthly kingdom and physical rule for 1,000 years. And that's in Revelation chapter 20. At the end of that, Satan will be released from imprisonment and Satan and his followers will rebel and be destroyed. Revelation 20, verses 5 and 10. Jesus will be give authority back to the Father and he himself will be in subjection to the Father. It's based on these truths that Paul proclaims. God may be all in all ultimately, all in all, is an expression of a rightful authority that God possesses. In the future, when evil has been eradicated forever, God will reign as the unchallenged supreme ruler of the universe. He will be the only one ruler of the hearts and lives. Ooh, this is so good. And the only on the only desire of his creation. When God is all in all, our redemption will be fully accomplished and God's glory will fill all creation. What does that mean to us? That means God will not have opposition any longer to who he is. That means the creation that we are all in Christ Jesus, we will never have to be tempted again. Nothing is going to come against the power of God any longer. Nothing. And I know, why does that mean something to us? Because that means that God and everything's going to be perfect and made right. And that means we'll never have to go through this test again. We'll never have to go through what we are going through again. And I know we hear that and we say that, I'll never go through this again. But I want you guys to get this revelation. We will never, ever, and God will never, ever be try to say, I am God, because rulers will be gone. Rulers against rulers, war against war, because of the rulers want to be above the other ruler and they want to take the territory. No longer will that be involved. It will be destroyed. God will be all in all in supreme power and everything. And he still is. He still is, but he is faithful to his word and it has to be accomplished. Why is this important to us? Like I said, we won't ever have to go through this again. I love that because we have to have hope. Some of you guys have lost hope and a lot of things, and you're just living day by day. You're not living in a Christ mission in your life right now. Christ isn't done yet. If Christ isn't done yet, we ain't done yet. Christ has to put every ruler under his footstool. And then, I love it, then he gives power. He gives all authority. And I love this about Jesus. This is so good about Jesus. He's always submitting to his Father. And it says that God gave him authority to do what he needed to do, to put the feet of all death and rulers underneath his feet. Then Jesus hands over, okay, God, this is the deed. I finished my mission. I finished everything you told me. And here you go, Father. You are the righteous King. You're the faithful Father. You have eternity. He passes the deed to the Lord. And he says, Father, I continue to submit myself to you and your will. Even though I have power, exactly, he has same power as God. You guys understand that. He has the same power of God. But he comes under God continuously. Why? Because he doesn't want any enemy to ever come against God again. Because Jesus still had a choice if he was continue to submit under his, because Jesus still has will. Why? How do we know that? Because he was tempted in the wilderness, and it says he submitted continually to the Father, right? I just want you guys to understand that is huge. So God wants to remind you, you finish your mission. Finish your mission well. You're not done yet. If God's not done, we're not done. Christ's submission isn't weakness, it is mission accomplished. Our lives find meaning when they point towards the same goal. Remember, we live in the now and not yet. Jesus is King. He is reigning now. We are waiting with expectancy of his second coming. Don't get weary in doing good. If we faint not, we will all see the glory of Jesus' finished work in the now and the time to come. We will see it. We will see it. I know that was a mouthful. I just want you to know that your mission hasn't completed yet. Your mission is barely started. And before I end, if we're not in the mission of God right now. And this is scary, look, guys. Jesus comes to the seven churches in Revelation. And God says, only one of them or two of them, you can quote me, Pastor Sue, to only two of them were standing right with the Lord. And the five were not. And he says, I have this against you. And if you don't repent, I will take the lamp that's in your lamp, and it will be gone. Why is he saying that? Because there's so many Christians that think they're Christian, and they're not Christian. We made him, and now this is what God was really pointing out. You started well, but you're not ending well. And when we get older, we tend to become lethargic. We become stagnant. We become complacent. And what that happens, it's danger. That word complacent means that you are unaware of danger coming against you. And that's what deception does. It deceives us to make us think that we are right with God when we're not. And these churches were praising Jesus, doing the works of God, doing the best that they can do, thinking that this offering would be good enough. And God says, no. If you don't repent and give me your life, it says, return to your first love. Return to the why. You have forgotten me. And I don't know why I'm saying this, because this is not a normal altar call. But God wants to wake up the church. He is coming back. We've never seen things line up as fast as they're going right now. Things are coming up right now in our own life right now, but we're not promised tomorrow. And now, if you never heard the message of your Lord dying on the cross for you, this message is for you. There was a Jesus that said, you know what? I'm going to submit underneath my Father. I'm going to do his will, and I am going to lay my life on that cross for humanity. And those who look upon me and call me Jesus and Lord, they will be my children. But maybe some of you, like I said, are lukewarm. And you don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care if you've heard 100 messages about this. If God is speaking to you, he's saying, daughter, get it right. Get it right right now. Who cares what anyone thinks? Oh, I'm a leader in this church. I'm a leader. I heard a pastor say that he had to get saved again because God told him that he was lukewarm. And he needed to rededicate his life to God again because he forgot his first love. So if that pastor had to go through that, who are we? Because sometimes we think pastors are more supreme. No, we're all children of God. We might have different titles, but we have a greater judgment as a pastor, a judgment on us if we are not doing what God's calling us to do. So God is waking up the church. So he's calling you back. And I know we had a huge Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, and we had all that stuff going on. But some of you guys have become lethargic. And God is saying, wake up. Wake up, daughters. Get your life right. And if you need to rededicate your life, I'm speaking to you. And you're like pounding out of your heart, oh my gosh. You know what? God just wants you to make it right. Repent. Repent, because the power of repentance means you turn around and God makes it right again. But if some of you guys never heard this gospel message of Lord Jesus, he died on the cross and he's loved you so much that he would have just done it for you. This message is for you. This altar call is for you. And maybe some of you guys think, because you've been raised up in church all your life and you do good things thinking your good will outweigh your bad. That's not how God, that's new age. If I do this and do this and do, and that's called, that's not the grace of God. You can never be good enough. You can never do what's right. You can never, because we all have a sin nature. And our spirit has to be born again. So, from the right to the left, to the left to the right, if I'm speaking to you, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. If you're running from God instead of to God through unforgiveness, I keep saying that. Because some of you guys think you're right with God, but you've had unforgiveness and you need to repent. And because that unforgiveness has made your heart hard. And you think you're okay with God and you're not. On the count of three, You guys can go ahead and bow your heads. This is God's time. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Okay, before we end, we're gonna pray. Everybody, if you guys pray with me, say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior of my life. Jesus, I repent and I turn away from sin and I turn towards you. Jesus, cover me with your blood. Forgive me for all my sins. Thank you, Lord, for dying on that cross just for me. Holy Spirit, empower me in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. That was so good. I mean, not saying my message was so good, but I'm saying God was faithful. And if some of you guys need to go home, I really do feel like some of you guys got to go home and make it right with the Lord. We do. Because he's not playing any longer. Not saying he was playing before. I just think we take advantage of God's grace sometimes, thinking we continue to keep doing what we're doing because we're waiting for our emotions to line up with our confession. You got to line up with your confession, and then God's going to give you the grace to do the impossible in your life. All right? Guys, thank you so much. God is so good. Melissa, Pastor Melissa.
So, so good.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can follow us on social media or visit our website at rockchurch.com.